For life. Hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? You know the name, you know the voice, you know exactly why I'm here. Just in case if you don't, I'm a 26-year-old piece of gold, the Messiah of the microphone, and the greatest sports and recreational podcaster in the world today. I am the Microphone Messiah, Philip Antoine, episode 289. We're so close to episode 300. I can't wait. And joining me, he is a former 15-time Bully Cast champion. Ladies and gentlemen, the Canadian Destroyer, BT Brandon Tanguma. BT, it's Wednesday / Thursday. You know what that means.
It's another edition of the Bullycast. I'm back. I won't say Mr. No Days Off this week because I did take a day off last week. But, you know, put in that grind, did some work on Saturday, had a vacation. It was fun. If you guys haven't been to Nashville, I'd highly recommend it. It's a fun time. It's a little bit of a trek out here from the Bay Area. But I know Mr. X out there in Kentucky, you know, a little closer of a trip maybe. You don't really got to love country music to love Nashville. It's a great time. Highly recommend it. But I'm doing fine, Philip. I know you might be a little bit under the weather. I have my neck hurts because I went to go lift weights for the first time in like a week. So I'm hurting. You're hurting. Should be a fun episode.
Bro, my body's like, it's so sore. Like, I haven't been able to eat, bro. Like, I've been trying to sleep this off. It's just, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy. I keep waking up in the middle of the night to, like, use the bathroom. My neck is just – it feels like somebody, like, punched me in my neck heck hard. It's crazy, man.
Well, you'll be okay because you're a trooper.
I am a trooper. I wrestled a day after a car accident. I'm like that.
Yeah, see, nothing can hold you down.
Yes, yes. Big news. We are now SeatGeek brand ambassadors. Yes, yes, yes. So now the no profanity, we really have to stick to that. We're representing SeatGeek now, brother.
Very, very exclusive club.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, use our promo code BULLETCAST to get $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. I'm humbled. I'm honored. I love this. How does it feel to be a brand ambassador now, Mr. Tanguma?
It feels great. You know, we're big time partnering with SeatGeek. It's a great ticketing app. You know, if you guys are trying to go see some sports, some wrestling, concerts, whatever. If you need a ticket anywhere.
Country music.
Country music, pop music, rap music, Lil Wayne, maybe Drake, Kanye, even though Kanye ain't doing nothing. Gil, you know what? I know Kid Cudi's torn. He's going to be in Oakland in a couple days or a couple weeks. So there you go. You SeatGeek to get $20 off your first purchase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We made some town Saturday night. Or Saturday, the whole day. Tell them about it. Brandon, tell them about it.
Well, it was an excursion. So after flying cross country, coming in at around 11, midnight, whatever, you know, go to Stockton Con. It was a great time. Shout out West Coast Design, you know, popped up and just kind of stayed at his place for a little bit. His booth, not his actual house. But, you know, we did some things. Got an interview with Thunder Rosa. Highly recommend you guys go check that out. It's just a quick little interview. You know, nothing. You don't got to set aside a half hour. It's just a five-minute little convo between Philip and Thunder. Great cinematography. If you guys want to watch the YouTube video, we might have had some technical difficulties with the tripod, so your boy had to do the handheld. Hopefully it wasn't too much of a shaky cam.
No, it was perfect, brother.
Amen.
You might have to fight Brian Tronic. T's and P's are going out to Brian Tronic at the moment. T's and P's. But you guys might have to have a handheld cam off or something. I don't know, man.
I mean, I don't know about that. We did another interview later, and that was a much longer interview, which we will, I assume, maybe we'll drop either by the end of this week or next week. And that one was a little more of an issue because that was a long one. Maybe that's where my neck started hurting because I was in an awkward position turning myself, we made a makeshift tripod where we had the phone on top of a chair, on top of a bag, and it was a whole thing. But Stockton Con itself was a great time.
It was. Got a shout out from Mickey James.
Shout out.
We got to chop it up with Mickey. She's a sweetheart, lover. Talk to JBL about TikTok. That's something I'll never forget. Yeah,
Johnny Gargano stopped by the West Coast Design booth. Loved my Candice LeRae shirt. Probably the only person in that building who actually knew that was a Candice LeRae shirt. Only reason I wore it. So shout out Johnny, happy birthday! Didn't realize it was his birthday on Sunday. So happy birthday to him.
absolutely. Yes, the Thunder Rosa interview has been making some waves, man. Russell Pierce, they wrote up a little article about it, man. That's wild, right?
So wild, you know, just making some quotes. Thunder Rosa, you know, talking about how being a AEW champion on a national worldwide level is maybe a little bit different when she was NWA Women's Champion and some other of the lower indies. So
I'm gonna read the snippet from Russell Pierce. Speaking to the Bulletcast podcast, that's us. Rosa compared her title run with her NWA Women's Championship reign in 2020, noting that she completely feels the pressure of wanting to look perfect on AEW TV and make a difference for women's wrestling. It's been really challenging because being a champion for a major platform is different than when I was the NWA Women's Champion. There's a lot more at stake. There's a lot more that you're representing, and also a little bit of pressure. Every time you stand in front of the camera, you just want to make sure that you're perfect. The thing is, it's not about perfection. It's about making a difference, and I hope that I have been making a difference in the women's division, Thunder Rosa. Yeah, and then they go on to talk about All Out and who her opponent will be. That's cool, man. I'm glad that happened for us. We're doing some big things here now.
it's a shame they didn't talk about in the in the article about how great the cinematography was, but it's okay. I'll get past it.
Okay. The tacos. Just go watch the interview, guys. We talk about tacos, talk about Bay Area wrestling, Britt Baker. It's a lot happened in the span of 5 minutes. SmackDown recap. They're back. Let's see if my voice can handle this. Hit roll. I know it's not what I used to do, but it was okay, right?
Hit row, hit row.
Hit row. Yes. B-Fab, Ashanti the Adonis, and Top Dollar. Hey, he makes all the ladies holla. Hit Row is back. I love it. I'm happy for Hit Row. This means we get more of the A&E Hidden Treasures show, right? Yeah.
Maybe,
I'm
maybe.
assuming.
I mean, when they did get released, I was very shocked that AJ Francis, I believe is his real name, he got released because he did such a great job on that A&E Hidden Treasure show, and they could use him not only for that show but for any other things. He's charismatic, you know. He's got the TikTok. He's funny over there, and but Hit Row coming back, it wasn't so much of a surprise. It seemed like a lot of people thought that was going to happen. No swerve, for obvious reasons, but glad to see they're back. Don't know what they will be doing. You know, B-Fab definitely had her limitations in the ring, so I don't know if she's going to be more of a manager, you know, a valet type personality, and maybe the two other guys are a tag team. But you know, glad to see them back. And I know you guys kind of touched on it last week with a lot of the some of the released people coming back, but my thoughts on it are, you know, good for them. All the names, you know, Dakota Kai, Hit Row, Dexter Lumis. I think there's some other ones, and I'm kind of missing out on that. You know, individually, I don't care too much about them. I don't think they're like these big acquisitions, or Killer Cross, Karrion Kross is the other one I'm missing. You know, they're not going to be main event players that's going to save the roster and it's going to be this big ordeal. But when the past 2 years during the pandemic, WWE has released so many people that their roster got super thin and people were getting overexposed. And so bringing these people back, I think it's good for the roster just in terms of filling it out and, you know, having people not as overexposed on 5 hours of television. But individually, I don't care too much about them in terms of, you know, their upside. But I do like, you know, like Dexter Lumis. He's not going to be, you know, a top player, but he's just a body. He can fill a void. He can be different. And I'm perfectly fine with that. And then I'll Killer Kross in their hand. You know, maybe he's a little higher up on the card. Now, could he be a main
Possibility.
event guy? Possibly. But it's just another body compared to, you know, the Seth Rollins, you know, Riddles, Drew McIntyre, those guys who were there every single week, and we're kind of getting a little tired of them. You know, and it doesn't hurt to have some people filling out the roster.
Yes. Speaking of Karrion Kross, apparently Freddie Prinze Jr. wanted Karrion Kross to be the first champion of his promotion that he's starting up. So, Okay. All right.
Interesting. I mean, with so many of the WWE people being released, there wasn't too many people that haven't been signed by AEW or TNA or New Japan or whatever. So there wasn't that much of a pick. You know, the litter wasn't that big, so it would make sense for Killer Cross to be someone that Freddie Prinze could have picked out and made the top champion. Now, as I said, you know, I mean, when Killer Cross at NXT, I had high expectations, thinking he could have been something. Kind of floundered a little bit. Then obviously the main roster was what it was. But then when he went on the indie scene, he had, I forget who he wrestled, but he had like a fantastic blood sport match. And I kind of wanted him to be kind of that, kind of be in that elk. Now I don't know what Freddie Prinze Jr.'s envision is for his wrestling promotion, but with Killer Cross back in WWE, I do like how he's a little more grounded. You know, he has the hair back. They're kind of doing the Fall and Prey stuff from NXT, but it's not so over the top. So I think they've kind of found like a nice balance with him back in WWE.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sasha Banks gets her car broken into in Oakland. This happened yesterday. I didn't know Sasha was in the Bay. I didn't know she was in the town. It's crazy.
Well, she, you know, it wouldn't be the first time someone gets their car broken into. It wouldn't be the last. I do remember, like, back there was like an Oakland house show a couple years ago, like
It
1918.
was like Heath
Some,
Slater and the Ascension got their car broken into.
yeah, just great times. Great times to be in Oakland.
Sasha, look, come out to Hayward, come out to the stack. That's not gonna happen, baby girl. That's not gonna happen.
Seems like everybody's fine. Just some hair products were stolen. I did see that Naomi and Sasha were at the premiere of the She-Hulk, which is dropping on Disney Plus tomorrow. So just another thing with Sasha having an in with Star Wars and Disney Plus. You know, them two showing up at the Marvel red carpet, whatever the hell you want to call it. Good for them. Don't know what this means for Naomi, but you know, Sasha, she's doing some things. I saw she, you know, posted like a photo shoot or something, so she's doing some things outside of wrestling right now.
Yes,
Good for her.
yes. Trish Stratus is returning to the ring. We know WWE is going to be in Canada this coming week. So yeah, Trish Stratus is doing some house shows and then possibly might be appearing on TV.
Well, I mean, she might be inside the ring. Doesn't mean she's going to actually wrestle. She's going to be there. And it looks as though she's just going to be like, you know, a host or something of that nature. They haven't like outright confirmed she's doing anything physical.
I'm
But
sure she'll put on the gear for like a six woman tag or something. Brandi Rhodes has gotten back in the ring too.
Brandi Rhodes has gotten back into the ring. She's been spotted at the Performance Center, and it seemed like it was more than just a tryout or, you know, just knocking the ring rust off. It seemed like she was there with a purpose, I guess. I don't know exactly what there is for her to do. She has zero cachet in WWE. Cody's going to be out for a while, so you can't just bring her in and have a mixed tag match with Miz and Maryse. So I don't know what exactly you do with Brandi. I mean, I just kind of see her more in like a Lana role to where, you know, maybe she gets a shine, but people aren't going to really take to her all that well. But we're going to have to wait and see. I think if Brandi were to debut with Cody, like that's probably a little bit better. I don't see her, you know, being her own thing working on the main roster.
I can see her walking him down to the ramp at this coming WrestleMania. I can see that, yeah. All right. This day in wrestling, SummerSlam 2014. Brock Lesnar absolutely decimates John Cena. Brandon, you were there for that.
Yes, I was there. Got the plaque right there.
8 years later, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a really fun show. It was the last SummerSlam to be in LA after that like long run of SummerSlams at the Staples Center. Now the crypto.com or whatever the hell. It's the Staples Center. But I thought it was a really fun show from what I remember. Obviously the Brock Lesnar squash of John Cena is going to be forever remembered. Also, that was Stephanie McMahon's return to the ring. She wrestled Brie Bella and she actually beat Brie for whatever reason, because Nikki turned on her, and then we got that whole "I wish you died in the womb" thing with Nikki and Brie later on. But yeah, can't all be hunky dory. But there was some, you know, some really good matches also on that card. I think it was what, Seth and Dean Ambrose had a fun like lumberjack brawl, and Roman was actually over. People were cheering for Roman. He was in a match. I think it was Randy Orton, and it was, you know, it was crazy. But, you know, Roman Reigns was a babyface, and people were cheering him. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? All right. Fan mail time?
I guess. Why not?
All right, here we go. In Brightest Day X.
Mr. X.
All I got to say is I can't wait for Mox versus Punk, of course. I got to root for Moxley. Okay.
Well, Mr. X, you don't got to wait long.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that. He also says, so it looks like Santos Escobar is headed to the main roster. Plus, they have Nikita and Zoe in the women's tag tournament. Who else from the current NXT roster could you see showing up on the main roster? I'd like to see what Carmelo could do under the big spotlight. Hey, Melo don't miss, man. Melo don't miss. He is him. He is him, the A-champ. I'd love to see that.
We got a lot of the NXT UK people invading on NXT on Tuesday. I don't know if that's them building. I mean, it looks like they're probably building towards a Worlds Collide thing Labor Day weekend, and that weekend is just going to be insane with all the shows that are kind of lined up for that weekend. But it could also mean maybe NXT UK might be coming to an end, and you bring them in. You can really bolster that NXT roster with, you know, Tyler Bate, you know, Davenport, and all the other people that are over there at NXT, because those are more of like the old school NXT with the very experienced indie people over there. But
yeah,
I mean, you know, Cameron Grimes, you already said, oh my God, the North American champion,
Carmelo,
you know, those guys. Santos Escobar seems like he's definitely destined. And, you know, the other guy, you know, if you want to debut the entire, I don't know, I sound like a 5-year-old right there, Legado del Fantasma faction, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Electra Lopez definitely needs some seasoning. She is not good in the ring whatsoever, but
she has enough seasoning. How dare you?
Oh, you know, I could touch that. We're sponsored. It's a PG show now. But anyways, I think NXT under Triple H now. Well, who knows what exactly NXT is going to look like with Triple H running everything right now. But Tyler Bate showing up was interesting, and hopefully he gets a little bit more run. Maybe this also means, you know, Pete Dunne, or sorry, Butch can maybe go back to Pete Dunne.
The next thing. Wow, look at you.
It's looking almost like I knew it was coming. I did not miss Drex. I'm just back. We're just on such great wavelengths. We're on the wavelength together.
He says, we haven't seen Butch in a while with the rumors that some of the main roster are getting gimmick changes. Could we see the triumphant return of the Bruiserweight Pete Dunne? You never know.
Well, you know how much I hate Butch, the name, and how much I also love Pete Dunne, the Bruiserweight. So if he were to make a return, whether that still be with Sheamus or just kind of him on his own, I am all for it. I think, you know, with Gunther doing his thing with the Intercontinental title, have Pete Dunne return, have them just have some fantastic matches. I mean, hell, I might be a little too soon if you're trying to save it and build them up a little bit, but you know, you're trying to have some two Europeans have a great match at Clash of the Castle, put Butch, Pete Dunne, whatever you want to call him, up against Gunther for the IC title, make it happen.
Love to see it. Brandon, give us the Raw recap.
Well, we do have a Raw recap, and a lot of things did happen on this said Raw recap. And the main thing, or the big thing a lot of people are talking about, is this Drew McIntyre promo. SmackDown guy coming over to Raw, and he just cuts a straightforward promo talking about how he's the guy, and he addresses the rumors of him being pulled from house shows because of a back injury, and he says that he's been carrying this company forever, yada, 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 just, you know, going after Roman, pretty much, you know, calling him a part-timer, which at this point he is. And he went after Roman, talking about him wanting to be the champion and doing it on his home turf, on his island. And then Kevin Owens shows up. Kevin Owens just kind of dismisses the Ezekiel stuff, which he has done already in the past couple weeks. But now he looks like he's back to being the prize fighter. And the quote to everybody is talking about is Drew saying that, you know, call yourself a prize fighter, sports entertainer. Who cares? We're wrestlers in a wrestling ring, so let's wrestle. They said the dreaded W word, that is the second W in WWE. Philip, thoughts on the promo and, you know, the word wrestle was said on Raw. Oh, my God.
You act like this has never been said on WWE TV before.
Well, that's what the internet's saying.
Yeah, well, the internet's a lie. They don't know what they're talking about.
You got to go to Truth Social.
Just listen to us.
Okay. Yeah. That's a better idea.
Russell Pierce believes us than everybody else should, right?
Exactly.
Yep. Excuse me. Look, hypnotized by the Drew McIntyre promo. Loved it. Loved the aggression. Loved the passion. Hinted at the chosen one. Talked about, you know, he was chosen 15 years ago. Got fired. Worked his ass off. List all the guys he beat. Said he was the champion. And then, I mean, yeah, you know, he said wrestling. Okay, sure. That's fine. People act like they've never heard these words before. Like, I don't. He said the words cool. And then they had a really great match after.
I mean, just in general on Raw, like the matches and the wrestling was just like almost on another level. Like, I don't know if this is like some sort of edict or if it was just right night, right circumstance. But like a lot of these guys and women just went out there and just had, you know, fantastic matches and were they were doing more than just kind of going through the motions from what you would expect on a regular Raw, run-of-the-mill Raw a couple weeks out of a pay-per-view. So maybe that we're going to see more to come of that. But Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre had a great match, as you said. Did end in a DQ, so not everything from the Vince era is quite done yet. But we had a United States Championship match, even though AJ Styles lost the number one contender match last week or 2 weeks ago. He still gets a championship opportunity. And he goes up against Lashley. Lashley beats him. So Lashley continuing on his dominant run. And we're seeing this both on SmackDown and Raw with no Roman, no main title. We're getting the builds or the, you know, elevation of the secondary men's singles titles. And I'm all for it. Lashley's been doing a good job. You know, him and AJ. You know, little history, I think. I forget exactly how much of they crossed paths back in the TNA days.
No, this was their first match ever.
Like, first match ever. Look at that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they put on, once again, a really good match. Had some stakes to it. They've done a good job building the history of the U.S. title. And Lashley comes out on top. Who knows what this means going forward, but thought it was a good match. And
I thought it was fun. Ciampa and Miz getting out there, then Dexter Lumis showing up yet again. So I guess we're going to do a Dexter Lumis AJ Styles feud at some point in time.
That's what it's looking like, which is a weird first feud for Dexter.
Hey, if you want to go after somebody, go after the guy that's phenomenal, right?
We did get Indy Hartwell getting some sort of Dexter Lumis-esque letter or drawing on NXT, so he's
Index on main roster. What
Index may be back? Who knows?
No, I need Indy Hartwell to have a NXT Women's title run before she leaves. I need that.
Well, looks like Mandy ain't giving up that title anytime soon. So
we'll see. We need Toxic Attraction on the main roster too. I'm just saying.
Speaking of the way, Theory, not Austin, takes on Dolph Ziggler. Old Ziggles in the main event, and Theory just pins him clean, gets the win over Ziggler, and that's that. We haven't seen Theory since SummerSlam, so a lot of speculation on what he's gonna be under this new Triple H regime. But you know, comes out, they have the brawl or whatever, and then they have the match. Theory gets the win. You know, fine match. Once again, kind of hard to, you know, deep into the third hour, and the crowd probably doesn't care too much about Theory. Ziggler, it's very hard for the crowd to really get invested in a Ziggler match at this point. But, you know, Theory gets the win. Build him up a little bit after all these losses he's been taking with the build of Brock and Roman. So we're going to get something else, I believe, from Theory. Maybe Ziggler tries to take him under his wing and they become a tag team, or who knows. But Theory, clean win, wasn't a guarantee, but I think this continues that, you know, Triple H isn't going to shake the boat too much, even if we got to remember Theory was an NXT guy, so it's not like Triple H hates Theory, maybe not as much as Vince did, but We'll see.
This is still early. We gotta wait, guys. We gotta wait. Let's see. By like Mania and after, let's see where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, he still has the Money in the Bank briefcase, and that can only presumably go towards Roman. So you kind of got to protect him a little bit, unless you're just going to have him be a joke and cash it in and just lose immediately, which could be a possibility, but we shall see about that. Moving on, the Judgment Day continue doing Judgment Day things. They attack Rey Mysterio. Edge is going to face Damian Priest next week in Toronto. So building towards that, several times Rey was going to attack either Priest or Finn, but Rhea Ripley gets in the way, so maybe teasing Aaliyah, or maybe Beth Phoenix comes out and, you know, evens the odds against Rhea Ripley. So I think Beth is probably the more likely option to kind of even it up against Rhea. Maybe we get Beth and Rhea or some sort of mixed tag match. I don't know. But, you know, they definitely have been leaning heavily into, you know, Rhea Ripley getting involved with Dominic and now Rey this week.
That's something. The Glamazon versus Dominic's Poppy.
See, and once again, the internet going crazy when Rhea Ripley beats up Dominic.
Oh, the internet. Oh, the internet. Yeah, I'm excited for Edge versus Damian. It should be fun.
And hot crowd in Toronto. Don't know if they started off with that. Maybe they kind of put in the bridge of the second and third hour.
Probably might be the main event. It's Edge, Toronto.
Who knows? Who knows? They build this, the promo for Riddle, him kind of making a statement, talking about his comeback after what's happened the past few weeks, dating back to SummerSlam. Seth, you know, saunters out there and does a Seth Rollins heel promo. Riddle, very serious, announces he's cleared and he's going to come back and he's going to come for, sorry, no cussing, even though it's not a cuss word, you know, coming for them cheeks in terms of Rollins cheeks, consensually. And they are going to have a match at Clash at the Castle. I really enjoyed this more so from Riddle's part. You know, I'm a Riddle guy. I think he can be used so much better compared to, you know, the dopey, just, I guess, the dopey guy. And, you know, he still has the 420 shirt and all that other good fun stuff, but he's definitely kind of much more serious, back to what he was kind of in NXT, on the indie scene, in UFC. You know, obviously he's kind of a pothead, but he's very serious, and he if he's in a fight, he's coming for you. And I thought this was a really good tonal shift. He was already kind of on that way, but this was definitely the most intense we've seen Riddle thus far in the main roster.
Absolutely. Hey, I've come around on Riddle, as we all know. Excuse me. Like, him and Rollins clash at the castle. It's going to be fun. Rollins needs to win, though. He absolutely needs to win after all the losses to Cody and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens.
Speaking of Seth Rollins, he was at GCW this past weekend.
Look at that.
Peeking behind the curtain to watch Moxley going up against Effie.
The internet going crazy for John Moxley kissing Effie.
Yes.
And then finally, we did have the women's tag team tournament continue with the first round. Alexa Bliss and Asuka beat Nikki Ash and Doudrop. Nikki A.S.H. going a little bit darker, wearing the all black getup with the leather jacket, no cape, no capes. So maybe we get a full-fledged evil Nikki Ash. I don't know. But as you would expect, Sasha or Asuka and Nikki, Asuka and Alexa get the win. And this sets up next week up against Kai and Sky. So even though we're going to have that six-way, six-man, six-woman, six-person, six-whatever at a Clash of the Castle, going to set this up. Don't know if we get some sort of schmoz or a no DQ, and, you know, maybe they have an open spot and they try to find another tag team. That other tag team who might have been the former champions fills the void. I don't know. But, yeah. And, you know, Becky, Bianca were there, still moving forward with the six-woman stuff, but I don't really think there's much left at this point Time to get in the ring and duke it out.
Duke it out. I don't know if I've said this on here yet, but one-arm Becky Lynch crip walking with Bianca Belair and Snoop Dogg is my new favorite clip on the internet.
Shout out Becky. Becky.
She's invited to the cookout. Becky is invited. You can come too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Seth invited.
Hey, you seen the way that man dressed? Of course he invited. I need some tips from the drip. Gold. All right, AEW, keep it going, brother.
AEW Dynamite. We kicked it off with CM Punk in the ring, and he just goes full CM Punk, just throwing jabs at everybody. He goes after Hangman Page, just lays the belt down, sits, waits for Hangman to get his rematch. Hangman never showed up, which I didn't like that. I thought it made Hangman look like a punk. I mean, I saw on Twitter that like John Silver took a photo of Hangman and Catering, which I don't think that helps his cause at all.
I see what you did there, made him look like a punk.
No, I definitely meant to do that on purpose, but we'll get to the other stuff but I thought that was very odd that they just outright acknowledged Hangman. He challenged him. Hangman didn't say anything. And then they just turned around and he went towards Moxley. Like, we'll talk about the Moxley stuff. And, you know, maybe there's a reason for Hangman not doing anything. But what did you think of Punk calling out Page and then just not doing anything about it? I thought that
made him look mad. I was occupied, so I didn't hear that part of this. I didn't know that happened. That does sound bad. I mean, look, people are already critical of Hangman's title run and that he wasn't believable and he did look weak at points in time and that it gradually did go down. And this doesn't help the case at all.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they do him and Punk at all in or all out. I don't think that's the case. I thought him and Moxley were the clear cut match to do it all out. That ain't gonna happen. Punk comes out throwing jabs at everybody, calling Moxley the third worst, the third best person in the Shield. You know, he's already beat a John for a title in Chicago, throwing jabs at Eddie Kingston, talking about Kofi Kingston and Eddie Guerrero, and just everybody's catching shade.
What did he say about Kofi?
He said that Eddie Kingston is the third best Eddie he's worked with and the second best Kingston he's shared a locker room with.
Third best Eddie. Guerrero.
People were speculating Eddie Edwards.
Ah, okay. Okay.
But I also didn't know exactly who the other Eddie was, but Eddie Edwards does seem to line
up. Seem logical, yeah. I mean, but when he and Mox started going at it, did you hear the pop? Did you hear that pop? Dude, hear that?
Huge pop. Moxley comes out. Punk just completely disrespects Moxley by doing snow angels in the middle of the ring while he waits forever for Moxley to get in. Moxley goes at him. He starts calling him some things, saying some bad words, no profanity, no cursing. Happy birthday to Danhausen and Thunder Rosa. But, I mean, I absolutely love
today's
this.
Today's Thunder's birthday.
It is Thunder Rosa's
happy
birthday.
Happy birthday, Thunder. Oh, my God. We got to get tacos.
Shout out. Oh, no, sorry. Not Thunder Rosa's birthday. It's Paige's birthday. Shout out, Paige.
Paige?
Shout out, Paige.
Like, Paige?
Paige. Free agent, Paige.
Hey, love Paige. She's going to be on the show next. I'll try to make that happen for the people. But keep it going.
Moxley goes after Punk after Punk went after Moxley. They get into a brawl. Bam, bam. I guess we'll talk about this segment first. I love this. I thought this was fantastic. I love Punk. I love Moxley. I've said it before. Just my favorite part of wrestling is not exactly the wrestling. It's the talking. It's just two badasses just talking ish back and forth. And I thought this was like the pinnacle, the best that AEW really can have. You know, him and, you know, Moxley and Punk going back at it. You know, Punk and MJF did their thing. That was a little bit more meta peek behind the curtain than this was. Like, yes, they did have their meta jabs of, you know, WWE, The Shield, John Cena, all these other different things, but they were much more based in reality and, you know, in the kayfabe sense of just the history of wrestling. And I love this so much. Philip, did you love this as much as I did?
I did, man. I mean, when you get two guys who are excellent on the microphone you're gonna, it's gonna be magic. You're gonna be hypnotized. The one line I did like was Punk when he said, "I don't want to get too close to you, man. You might just bleed all over me," hinting that Moxley bleeds a lot every match. So I thought that was a nice jab. And then the pull apart and Cesaro just deadlifting Mox to keep him away from Punk, and Yuta coming out there. I thought all this was great.
Yeah, they did the first pull apart. Fine, okay, we think everything's over. Then just for whatever reason, Tony Nese comes out for a match. No one really explained who he was wrestling. But then Moxley just comes out, pushes Tony Nese, pie faces Smart Mark, and he just calls out Punk. Punk runs out, they get into another brawl. And then this is when, what you said, is when Cesaro or Claudio and Wheeler Yuta come out and they get a gay, you know, pull them apart. And I mean, it wasn't as good as the first pull apart, just, but I did just like the story of Moxley couldn't wait and he called out Punk again. Maybe he could have, you know, do this backstage, or we just frantically rush to the backstage area and we see, you know, Moxley trying to tear down CM Punk's dressing room or something. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it made sense. Now, if you just kind of ignore the Tony Nese, who is he wrestling aspect, and that just completely got canceled, I'm going to ignore that part. But they said they can't hold back anymore. They can't wait a few weeks for All In, All Out. I'm going to keep doing that every single time for the rest of time. All Out. And so they are going to have the match next week in Cleveland, not Cincinnati, which it would have been a lot of fun if it was in Cincinnati. But Moxley, Punk, title for title unification bout. And my eyes perked up, my ears perked up when I saw that. I was like, oh, they're actually doing this. I thought Moxley and Punk was the perfect main event for that show. And now they're not going down that route. Now it makes me question, what do they do? Does this set up an MJF return? Do they do Punk and Hangman? Because I think the Punk Moxley match, especially after that opening segment, was just so hot. I was like, okay, this is a perfect main event for that show. And now they're just going to it next week. Do you do a crap finish and just do it again in a couple weeks? Or do you have a finish, someone is a champion, and then you do another match with whoever it is, an MJF, a Hangman, I don't know what the standings are at the moment, but I just don't know what other match you do at All Out that's going to stack up to this in a couple weeks.
Excuse me. I'm just trying to think. You could do a crap finish and get Mox and Punk in Chicago. Or maybe this is the perfect way to, like, you get MJF back on screen, because he's been radio silent, like, nothing. Absolutely nothing from MJF.
Maybe you do the double DQ, double count out, which they don't do very often. But then you use that to build into a cage match, a death match, whatever thing you want to do at All Out.
Three stages of hell.
Yeah, you can do anything, but once again, I just wonder what is the purpose for doing that. Like, I get the reasoning, like, oh, these guys can't wait any longer, but I just feel like doing crap finish just to get to the no DQ match or whatever you're going to do at the pay-per-view just kind of takes a little bit of the steam off of it, if this is the direction they're going, which I'm not saying it is, but I just don't know. Besides MJF and Punk at All Out 2 weeks in advance, which seems like just such hot shot and quick booking. I don't know what is the direction here.
You have heard Eric Bischoff says TK books like a 14-year-old boy. So,
I mean, we have seen it kind of in the opposite direction, where we're not getting the matches we care about fast enough, but now we're kind of getting, you know, just thrown out there Moxley Punk unification match. And we did see Punk go very well, not very, but he definitely was kind of teetering between heel and face and maybe going a little too far. Now it is going to be in Cleveland, which should be more in favor of Moxley than Punk, but Punk is still like the most popular guy in AEW, so it's going to be at least 50-50, maybe a little bit towards Moxley, maybe a little bit towards Punk, but maybe that is another reason if they are, but maybe this is where we do the CM Punk heel turn. It's very hard for you to do a CM Punk heel turn in Chicago, so you do it in Cleveland, kind of John Moxley's territory. You can get that reaction. Hangman makes the save or Hangman does something, Brian Danielson, I don't know. And then that's what you do. You get like the first heel CM Punk match in Chicago. And it does kind of throw everything for a loop because it doesn't matter what CM Punk's doing. He's in Chicago. I know it's a traveling crowd, but they're going to cheer for him. So that's another thing. I'm like, is that really the right move? Who knows?
I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. Keep it going.
AK, shut up. How you doing? Keep moving. And I will keep moving. As we get Brian Danielson taking on Daniel Garcia in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Chris Jericho on commentary. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was the guest timekeeper. We had the American Dragon, Brian Danielson, taking on the Dragon Slayer, Daniel Garcia, on House of the Dragon, HBO Max. So on whatever, Dragon. The American Dragon beats the Dragon Slayer in 27 minutes. I thought this match was really fun. Just technical, hard hitting. What you expect from these guys? And at the end, Jericho comes down to beat up on Danielson. Garcia pushes him off. A little bit of a tense moment. And we get a promo later on with Jericho saying that Garcia is going to make a choice next week. We also got Ricky Steamboat making an appearance, chopping one of the 2.0 guys. That was all fine and dandy. So I love the match. Danny Garcia already going towards the split up of the JAS, or at least Garcia leaving the JAS, which seems like a little quick, but the crowd was really hot for Garcia and they wanted him to turn. So maybe you turn him. He goes to the Blackpool Combat Club, which is what everybody wanted him to be in the first place. And he can be in a tag team with Danielson, or he just goes on his own. I am fine either which way.
I caught the last fall, so I'm going to have to go back and watch all of this. Yeah, Jericho, great selling of Garcia, like pushing him off. The crowd chanting, "You're a wrestler." I thought that was good. But Garcia in the Blackpool Combat Club? I'd like to see it. I'm not opposed to it. I'm really not. But never turn your back on Le Champion. Never turn your back on Le Champion.
Yeah, it should be interesting because I think that Garcia Jericho feud, whenever that was going to come, was going to be a big deal for Garcia. Now Jericho still has something going on with Kingston, it seems like. I did like Kingston tweeting, just talking stuff about CM Punk on Twitter, because Kingston wasn't there. So I'm always here for the everlasting Kingston CM Punk feud. So who knows what goes on with that. Moving on. But yeah, Jungle Boy, he comes out. He's like decked in all black. He seems very angry and menacing. And he talks about Christian, cuts a promo on him, challenges him to All Out. Christian, trying to butter up Jungle Boy, says, you know, we can be together and I can lead you to the promised land, but Jungle Boy's not having any of it. And again, to a little bit of a brawl. So no official match quite yet, but definitely laying the groundwork, and we are on track for Jungle Boy and Christian. I haven't talked about it too much, but the Jungle Boy babyface turn hasn't exactly, you know, been rosy. It hasn't like been perfect by any means. He's definitely, I know Christian has kind of gone too far, so Jungle Boy's kind of got to match it a little bit, but I don't know. I just feel like Jungle Boy being in his first real big singles feud hasn't exactly taken off, I think, the way it could have. Like, people love the song. They love the intro. You know, he's going to be fine in the ring, but I just don't know that talking. He's found his right footing yet.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that. I've felt like he's had more charismatic moments wrestling out here than on Dynamite and TNT and TBS and stuff like that. I like the promo, you know, Christian saying, "Hey, I can get you to the promised land," obviously that being the heavyweight title of AEW. Little brawl was nice and cool. We're going to get them at All Out. We're going to get that. Let it be the opener. Give them 15 minutes, and let's have Jungle Boy be propelled to the next step.
Then finally, well, we did have Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm, win and kind of confirming her being the number one contender. So her and Thunder Rosa are going to be the women's championship match at All Out. So that should be a really fun match. Thunder wasn't exactly too thrilled that Toni Storm won. So maybe Thunder turns, or Who knows? Should be a great match. But anyways, friend of the podcast, shout out Thunder. In the main event, we have the opening match for the Trios tournament. We get, what are they officially called? Le Faction in Goblinables or whatever. Rouge, Andrade, Dragon Lee, the family, all together. Bam, taking on the Young Bucks and a mystery opponent that wasn't such a mystery because it ended up being Kenny Omega. Yes, Kenny Omega makes his triumphant return with his goons by his side. Don Callis on commentary, Michael Nakazawa at ringside. Kenny obviously was a babyface in this situation. Don Callis was still kind of a heel, but not going too much over the top. So maybe we'll see some sort of dissension or some sort of breakoff, or who knows what's going to happen there. But Kenny shows up. They wrestle, have a fantastic match. Kenny was in a compression long sleeve t-shirt and some sort of like shoulder sling thing. I don't know what exactly it's called because I've never really seen that before. But Kenny definitely selling that he's a little rusty, messing up some spots, selling heavy breathing. But I mean, Kenny just, he seemed like he was back mainly because he did some stupid stuff. He took sitting on the barricade, taking a Tope Suicida neck breaker from Dragon Lee. I mean, good God, Kenny and Dragon Lee, what are you guys doing? Don't, just don't. You don't need to do that. But in the end, Kenny hits the one-wing angel on Dragon Lee for the win. They had a really long in-ring conversation Kenny and Dragon Lee did. I don't know if something went wrong or they were just kind of having a moment there. But Kenny's back. Phillip, I know you're a big fan of Kenny. What are your thoughts on Kenny Omega finally making his return after 10 months, after losing the title in November?
We all know how I feel about Kenny Omega. I've been talking about it for 5 years on this show. Everybody loved him and loved all the Okada stuff. I wasn't on the bandwagon, honestly, kind of still aren't. But he's back, and, you know, maybe back too soon. You know, he's been gone long enough. He just wanted to get back. Maybe he needed a year and 3 months instead of 10 months. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. I mean, Kenny did such a great job at selling that I don't know how much of it was selling because he tried to do the you can't escape flip and he messed it up, but it seemed like that was kind of on purpose. So he's definitely leaning into it, and 10 months is nothing to scoff at. And I don't know what kind of training, what type of in-ring stuff he's done. So, putting it kind of crawling back into it in a trios tournament. So him and the Young Bucks can just kind of do their thing. And I haven't really looked at the bracket, so I don't know how it's going to play out, but I would assume they're at least going to go to the finals, probably win the whole thing. So this is a nice way for Kenny to kind of get back in the swing of things. He can still do his crazy stuff, do his high spots and get his stuff in, but doesn't have to be relied on individually to have 20, 30 minute matches.
Yep. Rush and Andrade turn on Dragon Lee at the end.
Yeah, it was kind of poorly timed because they did it like right at the end. You kind of saw it coming, but it was okay, they turned on him, and then it was they just went to fade to black, end of show, and it was Dragon Lee, he's been on the show for a little bit, and even Andrade and Rush have been on the show, but I just felt they turned on Dragon Lee. Whatever. I don't know what exactly that was supposed to be. I mean, I know maybe Dragon Lee is kind of there on loan, so he can go back to Japan and do whatever he's got to do. But it just seemed like a little bit unnecessary. But if you're going to if Dragon Lee is going to get kicked out of the faction, I guess you got to at least do something to get some sort of heat out of it.
Yes, yes, yes. La Faction Ingobernable. If you're looking for somebody, I'm around. Let's wait till I'm healthy again, but I'm around, guys.
I'll be Smart Mark Sterling. I'll be in my neck brace for forever until I finally get healthy, because who knows? I can rotate maybe 45 degrees. That's about it.
Yes, yes, yes. I will skip the Superstar Spotlight. West Coast Cup. It is Thursday and Friday, two-night event. West Coast Pro at the State Room. Night one, you have Jacob Fatu versus Speedball Mike Bailey for the title. And, of course, the round one matches, Masha Slamovic, Alpha Zoe, Davey Richards, Levi Shapiro, and more. I'll be at both nights. If you see me, come say what's up. I was at Ugwa this past Sunday, called the whole show. It was fun. I got some interviews with the San Jose champ, Nick Zander, and the self-revolutionary Sirza. Can't wait for those to drop. And, of course, my interview with the undisputed ACW heavyweight champion, Alpha Zoe. So all that stuff's going to be dropping here in a couple weeks. Stay tuned for all that stuff. Thank you guys so much. We will be back next week. And we are close to episode 300. We can't wait for you guys to see what we have in store for that. It's going to be something special. Thank you guys so much. Bye-bye.